Now, today's message is, you know, today's message, I'm calling it, God provides for me. God provides for me. Does God provide for you?
Yes.
We've got to have an understanding that God is the one that provides for us. See, there's two ways we can get stuff in our life. We can get stuff in two different ways, but the results are quite different. Now, the way the world gets... Actually, let me go to a verse here, because this is a verse that inspired me to talk about this week. And as I was reading this verse, God gave me a lot of insight and understanding about these two different ways that we can get stuff in our life, but quite different results. So let's take a look here. Now, this is 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, and I'm looking at verse 15, 16, and 17. And here it says... John is talking and he says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." So we have these two different aspects. "And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So we see in this verse there's these two aspects, right? And he's breaking it down, the love of the Father, because he's saying that, you know, that we want the love of the Father in us, or God abiding in us forever. And the other aspect, and he kind of listed out here the things of the world. He kind of classifies as the things of the world. But then he goes on to say the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now, anytime I hear the word lust, you know, in the past, I always thought, oh, he's talking about sex, you know? But really, it's a lot deeper than that. He's not talking about sex here. He's actually talking about when we see stuff, the lust of the eyes, when we see stuff that we want. And quite often, when we see stuff that other people have, and I go, oh, I want one of those. How come I don't have one of those? They got one. I should have one too. You know, it's kind of that keeping up with the Joneses, you know, the neighbor's symptom. And so when we start talking about lust, he's really not talking about sex. He is talking about our desires of trying to get things, trying to get the things that we need. And it's a grabby kind of way of trying to get it. And this is the first way that we can try to get the stuff, because I said there was two ways. But the first way is by us trying to grab, trying to pull it in. Now, God gave me a revelation. He showed me a vision about these verses when I was reading them and I was meditating on them. And he showed me a person and how they got the stuff in the way of, if I read that again, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He showed what that looked like. And there was a person standing there, and they were like, it's almost like they were sucking the air in from around them, trying to draw everything to them. They're like, and all this stuff, they were like trying to grab it and pull it and get it towards them in any way they can. And so this is what he showed me. And what I began to understand as he showed me this is in the world, or the way the world works, if we want to get our needs met, a lot of people want to make something of themselves. And they're sort of self-made man. You know, you want to make something of yourself. You want to make it happen. You know, and you start to go out and try to get this stuff. And you've got to become successful and then acquire things. And this is what he's talking about here. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we can't have stuff, because we can have stuff. In fact, God wants us to have our needs met, and he wants us to have our dreams fulfilled, and he wants us to be blessed and highly favored. God wants to bless us. He's already blessed us. He doesn't want to bless us. He has blessed us, and he wants us to receive that blessing. He wants us to have the blessing, and the blessing will bring all kinds of stuff. It'll bring on every level. It'll bring both material stuff and emotional stuff. And so we can be very happy in our life. We can have a successful life and a happy life. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to have stuff. He wants you to have stuff. He wants you to have great stuff. But it's how we acquire the stuff. See, we need to start understanding, how does God want you to acquire the stuff? See, there's a way that God has a system. It's called the kingdom of God. It's not a place. The kingdom of God is not a place. It's a system. It's a system that resides inside of you. Remember, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is within. It's inside of you. It's within. You've already got it on the inside. And it's a system that will help you to receive all the stuff, meaning fulfill the dreams, receive the relationships, have the success, on every single level. All that that is waiting comes through the system of God, which is the kingdom of God. But we've got to understand how to use it. This first way that I'm talking about is not the way for us to try to do it on our own. You know, I made it on my own. I did it on my own. I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't done it all on my own. Nobody else was going to do it. I had to do it. I'm a self-made man. Have you heard people like this, right? Or you hear people who aspire to be self-made men and do it all on their own. Now, what God showed me in this vision of the person that was sucking all this stuff in and trying to pull it in is he showed me now the results of that. And it was a big, huge garbage pile. It's as if you'd gone out to where they dump all the garbage for LA and there those huge mountains they have out there, you know. And that's what was covering this person now. Everything was junk and it was chaotic and it was useless. And it wasn't of any benefit to this person. It wasn't helping them. It was actually seemed to be harming them because this pile of stuff was on top of them. I couldn't even see them. They were covered by it. Now, the second way God showed me, and this is talking about, he now began to talk, focus me on the part of the verse where it says, the Father abiding in us forever. You know, about the love of the Father being in us. So having now the love of God. And now when I begin to look, again, I see a person, and it's about acquiring stuff. This is the second way to acquire things. And now I see God as the provider, bringing stuff to this person. God is bringing whatever their heart desires, whatever they want, whatever their dream is, and God is providing it. So you don't see the person trying to grab it. You just see God bringing all this stuff. And it's coming from all directions at the same time. And the person's really not working that hard. They're kind of just standing there. And they just are looking at God. And as they look at God, everything their heart wants is coming to them. And the result of that, the end picture that I now see, is that this person is standing in a kingdom. And this is how God plans it for us, is that we are meant to reign in life. The kingdom represents the life. And that's what's created by when we allow God to be our provider. Because we can do it all ourselves, or we can let God be our provider. God is my provider. Amen. We were meant to be reigning in life. For us to reign in life, we have to have a kingdom. And the kingdom of God, as I said, that kingdom within is created out here in the physical by allowing God to be the provider. He will bring it. Everything within this vision at the end where the person was standing in the kingdom, everything was in perfect order. Everything was great. It was exactly where you wanted it to be. And I think one of the things we have to understand is that when we try to do things ourselves, we see something we want. And now we try to acquire that and we try to get it to fit into our life. We want it to fit into the rest of our life so everything works, right? But quite often we get that something and now it doesn't seem to really fit or it doesn't feel as comfortable or you don't enjoy it as much as you thought. You get that car and you're like, oh, I don't. Something's not quite right with the car, or it doesn't go with the rest of your out ensembles, or something, you know? Something just isn't working. And this it reminds me, you know, when you're trying to do things on your own, it reminds me of when we were kids. There was a time where my family, we went through a phase where the whole family was making puzzles. We'd put puzzles together, And we'd get these incredibly complex and difficult puzzles, and they would end up on the dining room table, and they'd be there for weeks or months, depending on how hard it was and how often we would work on it. And it was out there all the time, so you could just, you know, sometimes one or two of us kids would drop down and put a couple of pieces together. Sometimes mom and dad were there putting a piece together and one of us would join them. Sometimes an entire family was gathered around the table putting pieces together and having, you know, it's kind of our way of having a little bit of fun. And we made a lot of puzzles. And finally we came down to this one puzzle. It was like an insane puzzle because it was really, really hard. This was such a hard puzzle. I mean, it was like everything was the same color. All the pieces looked blue to me, you know, because it had water and it had sky, and they were little tiny, tiny pieces, and they were hard to kind of find how they fit together. And, you know, we worked on this thing as a family for, I think it was months, we worked on it, and slowly but surely it was getting finished. And finally we got down to where there was like a handful of pieces left. Everybody was there. We were ready to see this finished because we didn't think we would ever finish this puzzle. And now suddenly as we fit these final pieces in, we can't seem to find how they fit in. They don't seem to fit right. And no matter how many times we try, and everybody took their turn, kind of turning them and trying different ways, they just didn't fit. And it happened to be up in the sky, right in the middle of the picture, that this little piece didn't work. And we tried for a few days and just couldn't get them to fit. Finally, out of frustration, and we thought, okay, maybe some pieces got, you know, maybe it got put together wrong somewhere else. And we looked around the rest of the puzzle and everything else seemed fine. We couldn't find where it fitted. So we just forced these suckers in there, tried to get them to fit as best as they could. And then we mounted it on a piece of cardboard because we never wanted that thing to be taken apart again. And we hung it in one of the kids' rooms. You know, it might have even been my room. I don't remember which room it was. But anytime you walked past that picture, you could tell it just didn't look right because the sky just, there was like little spaces between the puzzle pieces. And it just didn't quite, you know, everybody knew it wasn't right. And this is how it's like when we're trying to make stuff fit in our life. We're trying to force and get the right piece. Okay, that's the car that I want. This is the boyfriend that I want. And I want it to kind of fit together. And often it feels like we're trying to just push it in there. You know, if you use enough force, it'll somehow stick. And then it might look like a complete picture. But still, it's not quite right. And you know it's not right. You can feel it. Something feels off. Something feels like it's not quite there. But the good thing is, you know, if we do it that way, that's what happens. But if we allow God to do it for us, everything starts to fit together nicely. Everything starts to come together in a beautiful way. And we have to understand how that works. Now, I want to go down to another verse here and read about this. Now, this is one of the verses we were talking about last week. This would have been one of your faith-building verses, so you might recognize it. And you might have got some revelation on this, but I'm going to talk a little bit about this too. This is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. And 1, 2, and 3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So the things which are seen are not made of the things which are visible. Now, see, how do we make things happen? If we want to get stuff in our life, and I've already told you there's two ways to get stuff, and I told you one way you're forcing stuff to try to make it happen, you're a self-made man, you're doing it on your own, it involves a lot of work, it involves a lot of toil, it involves, you know, that you got to go out there and get the right education, get the right job, and make enough money, and then pull all this stuff in and try to get it to fit together, and usually, as I said, it doesn't fit together. So even the people that look successful and look like they're really doing an amazing job on the outside, on the inside, they can feel it's not fitting. So if that way is not the way, and I'm saying that we want God to be our provider, how does it work? Well, in this verse, it explains us how it works. The things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So how does he bring the stuff in that I want? It starts off in the invisible, the unseen. It starts off in the spiritual realm. Remember, I said the kingdom of God is on the inside. The kingdom of God has the ability to manifest because it's a system to bring all the blessing that God has for you. It's going to bring that out. It's going to come from inside. It's not coming from something physical. It's coming from inside, from the spiritual world. It comes through that system, the kingdom of God, and it manifests it into the physical. So it starts out as the invisible. So you might be sitting there and thinking, oh, great. So, and for some guys, the good thing might be that they now can have an invisible girlfriend. And there are some benefits from that because, you know, if you have an invisible wife or something, she's never going to ask you, honey, does this make me look fat? And the great thing is, even if your invisible wife asks you that, you can always honestly say, I really can't tell. Because you're not going to see it. But no, it's not going to be invisible stuff, though. It's going to become physical stuff. But it's created by, as it says in this verse, it's the framework. Did you hear that? It's like framed by the Word of God. So the Word of God, meaning the things that God has said, the things that God has promised, it frames it. It creates a structure for it. Even though it's invisible to start with, we don't see it. When we speak those words of power, remember what Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. So you want to have a life more abundant. You want to have a blessed life. You want to have an amazing life. You've got to speak the words. Let those words come out of your mouth. Remember, we talked about several weeks ago about how our tongue can bring life or it can bring death. Because our tongue is going to be speaking the words of God, hopefully. Because if it's not, they're going to be speaking the words of the world. And that's going to bring death. But we want to speak the words of God because that's going to bring the Spirit and it's going to bring life. And it's going to begin to create an infrastructure for these things to become visible. What things? The things that you want in your life. The blessings you want to have in your life. The relationship you want to have in your life. You want that to become visible. And so it starts off as kind of an infrastructure, almost like, you know, when you see them building when somebody's building a building, right? The first thing they do is they put all the scaffolding up. It's just kind of a skeleton. There's nothing else there at first. There's no walls, really. You can see right through it. And that's what the words of God are like. It's creating that infrastructure. It begins. And there's not a lot to see. You can see right through a building when it's only, you know, all that wood put up there with no walls. You can see right through it. It's the same thing for the things of God. We begin to speak those words of life, but in the beginning, we don't see a lot. We don't see a lot yet. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, right? So we're believing what God promised us, and we know that that kingdom of God inside of us is the system that will create it. And if I speak the words of God, they're going to create the framework that will now allow it to become physical. So we don't have to have invisible stuff. And the way God brings it is it will be the perfect partner for you. It will be the perfect partner for you because it's being created by the words of life, the words of the Spirit. And so that person will appear in your life. They will, when the time is right, they will be there. That it'll create the perfect job, the perfect career. It will create the abundance will start to just flow into your life in amazing ways. But we got to stay consistent with speaking those words that are in the framework because it's like sowing a seed. If we say one day that God, thank you, God, that you have given me a great partner or that you've given me a great career, you're sowing that infrastructure, that framework by using the words of faith. You're creating that framework. But now if the next day you get up and you say, oh, I'll never have a partner. I'm going to be alone forever. I'm going to have to just be alone. What have you done? You've gone along and you've tore down all that infrastructure that you put up the day before. And now the next day you get up and you go, oh yeah, yeah, words of faith, words of faith. Okay, I'm going to have a great guy in my life. He's going to be amazing. So now again, you put up the structure. But again, if the next day you get up and you go back out, you go, oh, I'm never going to have a guy. It's been like 4 days now and I still don't see him. You're going to tear it down again. So we got to remain consistent that we continue to speak the words of faith so that we can continue not only to have just that light infrastructure, but now we begin to create more substance to it. And now you start to feel it. Pretty soon you start to feel something inside. You're like, yeah, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. There's going to be somebody amazing I'm going to meet. I can feel it. I can feel something's happening right now. And this is what we want to have happening. And as we stick with it and keep speaking the words of faith, now the businesses and the dreams and the blessings and the abundance and the prosperity and the health and all the things that God said and all the things that you're now saying, because you're speaking those words of life, now begin to happen and you begin to have them and your whole life has changed. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Because that's what God wants for us. Now, you see, some people, you might be looking around and thinking, but Ted, there are people who are self-made people, and they have done incredible things, and they have incredible wealth, and they look like they have an amazing family, and they did it all by themselves, Ted. So why do we have to do it God's way and let God provide for us? Because I can just copy, if I just read that book about how they became a millionaire, and I copy what they did, then I too will have the same kind of success. So why should I do what God is saying, rather than what this successful person who's already proved that their system works? Good question, right? Have you been thinking that? No? Something? Yeah, because that's the thing. Because there are some things that self-made man cannot do. And there are times in life where you need the supernatural power of God to do things that you cannot do. If you get sick, if you get cancer, if you get some sort of uncurable disease, doesn't matter how successful you are, you cannot provide the health for that. But God can. Say amen to that.
Amen.
God can provide the health for that. And there are times in our life when we need supernatural provision, when we need supernatural power, and that's when God can provide. See, God can provide all of our needs. When we make God our provider, He provides for every single aspect of your life, no matter what. When you try to become a self-made man, you're going to provide for certain things, but you won't be able to provide everything. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I'll tell you, yesterday we were out on the road driving to Vegas, as we talked about, and you know, you never know when you're going to need God to provide for you. But I'll tell you, out there on the road, it was raining all day. We had lightning all around us. I mean, I've seen electrical storms before, and I've seen big electrical storms, but I've never been in the middle of an electrical storm. This electrical storm, we were in the middle of it. And I know that we were in the middle of it because lightning struck right down the road right beside me. I saw it hit the ground. I saw the smoke come up after, and I heard it like a gunshot right beside me. Because I always did that thing when we were kids. My father taught me that when you see the flash of lightning, you can count 1-1,000, 2-1,000, 3-1,000, 4-1,000, boom. And then you know, oh, wow, that storm's like 4 miles away. Well, there was no 1-1,000. This thing hit, bang, right there on the ground beside us. I knew we were in the midst of this storm. Rain was coming down like crazy to the point where your visibility had dropped significantly. And as we're out there on the road and we're still flying along, there was a lot of other cars heading to Vegas with us because it was Saturday and a lot of cars go in that direction. And as we're driving along, probably at 80 miles an hour, I think we were driving along, suddenly the window began to steam up in my car. And I said, oh, Liza, can you adjust that? Because I would like want to stay focused because there's raining and there's lightning and there's wind. And the wind is like, feels like my wheels are like this because I had so much wind on it. So I didn't want to take my eyes off the road. And she hit this button for defrost the front windshield. And instead, what happened is the entire thing fogged up. And instantly, I could see absolutely nothing. Nothing. I couldn't see lines. I couldn't see the vehicle that I knew was right in front of me. I could see absolutely nothing at that second. And I'm like, oh my God, is there a curve in the road? Did the car in front of me slow down or stop? I don't know. And at that moment, I had to stop my car. And I brought it to a complete stop in the middle, in the left lane, in the fast lane on the freeway. I had to stop. I couldn't pull over because I didn't know where over was. I might have pulled off into the ditch or into another car. Came to a dead stop. Thank goodness all the cars behind us stopped. Liza's busy hitting buttons on the thing, trying to get air to come out. We opened the windows. Rain is pouring in on us. And luckily, I don't know how long it was, but the windows cleared up. And we were able to get going. And fortunately, nobody behind us got into an accident. Because when you're driving along at that speed and you suddenly stop, when visibility isn't good, it's very easy that someone else could have run into someone else back there. Because there were a lot of cars behind us. And there was a lot of cars in front of us. But I know at that moment that that's when I want God to be my provider. Because I know without a doubt that God saved our lives. And that God protected everybody else on that road that was with us at that moment. And I know that it doesn't matter how much of a self-made man that I was at that moment, I couldn't have done nothing to protect myself. And I know that God protected me. And that's why you want God to be your provider. Because you need God at those times when you don't know. Did I know that I would need God at that moment out on that road? When we got into the car to head there, we figured, no problem, it'll be an easy drive. We've done it before. We knew where to go. You know, we'd jump in the car and just cruise along. We didn't know there would be all this rain, lightning, wind, thunder, you know, and then suddenly on top of it, you know, that my window would get steamed up. I've never had that happen where it went to exactly absolute zero visibility on my windshield. Never had that. But that's the time when you need God to be your provider. It doesn't matter how successful somebody thinks they are in their life. It doesn't matter how much they've made. It doesn't matter how much they say, I did it all on my own. There's going to come that time where they encounter a situation that they do not have the power. But God does have the power. When we make God our provider, He will be there to provide protection. He will be there to provide health. He'll be there to provide encouragement and joy and excitement and prosperity. God wants to provide for us every single possible thing that we will ever need, but we got to get it into our heads that we need God as a provider. We can't take the chance to try to be self-made. We can't take the chance to say, well, that guy did it, I should do it too, because there's going to come that day where someone in your family needs healing and you don't got the power because you never learned to receive provision from God. And now they need your help and you don't know what to do. And I'm telling you, if you learn how to receive success from God, if you learn how to receive prosperity from God, if you learn how to receive love from God, and now you begin to use that in your life, it is a tool that you are equipped with all the time that you can bring the blessing of God into everybody's life. And so when they need it, you will be ready to give it. Say amen to that. Another great benefit is that you don't have to toil. When we got to do it ourselves, it really is a labor-intensive process. You got to stay on top of it. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to do anything. Because remember what it says in the Bible, if you don't work, you don't eat. So we want to be doing something, but it's the how we're doing it. See, if we're doing it all from our own effort, that means we've got to take care of every single detail of every single aspect of every single part of our life. And it's really hard to keep that all right and get all those puzzle pieces to come together and fit together, and you can't do it. But when we start to do it with God, there is no toil. God doesn't want us to be banging our head against the wall and working crazy hours, working five jobs, trying to make it happen. God wants to make it easy for us. And God wants to provide for us. Think, you're His children. You're the children of God. You know, a good father wants to make it easy for his children. He wants to provide for them and give to them. And he's already given it and it's waiting. And if we can start to understand how the system of God, the kingdom of God works, to manifest the things that are invisible and make them now visible, you know, we can bring all this stuff that God has laid up in our lives, we can bring it now into this life right now.
Amen.
I'm not saying you have to wait for something later. I'm saying you can bring it right now. God wants us to have it now because he loves us and we're his children. And he wants to provide it for us. And if we can go in alignment with God being our provider, it now becomes a joy. It becomes a joy. It only took a few seconds for God to correct whatever happened to that windshield. And I don't know what it was. I don't think Liza made a mistake. I don't think I made a mistake. But I think God wanted to show us, you're in my hands because I'm your provider. And I'm going to take care of you. And we need at times like that. It was great to know that I didn't have to think for too many seconds, or that I didn't have to endanger my life, get out of the car or whatever, you know, to try to fix it. But God was able to correct it for us immediately. And that's the kind of thing that he wants to do for you. See, Peter, the disciple, before he met Jesus, was toiling in his life. He was working hard. He had a laboring job. He was a fisherman. And imagine, he would go out at night with his boats, and he would throw his net into the water and he'd pull this net back in. And I imagine that was hard if you did that over and over and over again. His hands were probably all calloused. He was probably a big burly guy, you know, from just pulling this net, all the water getting into that. And night after night he's pulling it. I remember what he said to Jesus that first day they met. Jesus got into his boat and they pushed out so that Jesus could speak to the multitude. And then after Jesus was finished speaking, he said, why don't we go out and do some fishing? Just push out there. And it was daytime now. And I don't know if you know anything about fishing, but if you try to fish with a net during the day, the fish see the shadow and they're going to swim away. They're not going to get caught. They'll see it coming. So it's better to fish at night. But here Jesus says, let's go out and fish. I'm sure Peter is thinking, oh man, you know, and he says to Jesus, look, we fished all night. We caught nothing. Caught nothing at night. Now you want me to go out? And I'm sure he said, oh, okay, just because it's you, we'll go out and throw the net out and see what happens. But something different happened than what Peter expected. See, Peter was used to toiling. Peter was used to working. He figured he had to sweat like crazy. He had to exert himself. He had to be out all night long in order to meet his needs. Jesus showed him something completely different. Jesus said, throw your net over there. He threw his net over and he caught a boat sinking, net breaking, world record catch. Peter had never seen so many fish in one net ever in his entire life. He had to call some friends over with another boat. And even their boat began to sink because they caught so many fish. What happened? One throw and he caught enough to fill two boats. He didn't have to labor. Yes, he still had to pull the net in. Yes, he still had to pull the fish in. So I'm saying don't put your feet up and don't work. But now if you follow the guidance of God, he will tell you where to throw the net. He'll tell you when to throw the net. And when you listen to where to throw the net and how to throw the net and when to throw the net, suddenly the net will be full for you. And your whole day's catch, your whole week's catch, I'm sure his whole month's catch, maybe 6 months of catching fish, was established for Peter in one single throw.
Amen.
So he made it easy for him. He didn't have to toil. He didn't have to toil because what changed is it went from Peter being a self-made man, and he's a successful man who's got a whole fishing fleet. He didn't just have one boat. He had a few boats on that Sea of Galilee, and he was out there all night trying to pull in those fish. And he was a self-made man who had made it all himself. And I don't know if he was using those words, but I'm sure that's what he felt like. Until that moment, Jesus showed him something completely different. He showed him a total different way to live. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a totally different way to work. Now, Peter became a very successful fisherman like that. But now, Jesus started to show him another way to fish. He became a fisher of men and showed him how to bring men into the kingdom of God so that they too could have that kind of success and that they didn't have to labor. See, that was God's will for us. He doesn't want us toiling. He wants us to learn how that kingdom of God works, that system on the inside works, so that we can be provided for and it can be easy for us. And we can have more than we ever imagined, and we can have it easier than we ever imagined. And that's what God wants for you. And all you've got to do is decide, is God your provider? God's my provider. Is God your provider?
Yes.
Because if God is your provider, then you've got everything. You're going to have everything you need. And all you need to do is listen to God to tell you where to throw the net and when to throw the net. And by God, that net will be full and you will have all the success and abundance that you ever could imagine. And it will rub off on everybody around you. In Jesus' name, amen.